Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. Please join me as we sing the doxology, and it's found in the red hymnal number 549, in the red hymnal number 549, and we'll sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Our call to worship is hymn number 715. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Where can I go to escape? Where can I hide from Your presence? If I climb to the skies, You are there. If I lie down in hell, there also. Could I flee on the wings of the dawn and camp far beyond the ocean? Even there, Your presence would follow. Your strong arm would grasp me. If I say, let the darkness enshroud me, let the daylight around me be night, I find that the dark cannot daunt you, that night seems as bright as the day, and darkness like light. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 457. My hope is built on nothing less. Number 457, my hope is built on nothing less, and you may be seated if you want to be. Thank you for singing with me this morning, and you may be seated. Let us go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that You have brought us here just to learn more about You. And God, our hearts and minds are open to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, we come before You with the needs and requests that we have in our lives, the challenges that we are facing, the things that we are trying to work out in our lives so that we could have the best result possible. God, we desire to follow your will and to seek your will for our lives, but God, many times we individually just seem to get in the way of that process. And God, I would ask that you would set our own selfish desires aside and that we would focus on what you want best in our lives, because we know that is the best. But God, you do hear our prayers, you do hear our concerns, you do hear about the silly things that we pray about, but God, you care about those things, because everything in our lives is important to you. We praise you for that. We think of the needs of family members and of friends, of patients throughout this medical center, of the family members that will be visiting, of the staff that are working here today. And Lord, in the same way that we offer up our own prayers, Lord, we offer our prayers for them as well, that you would help them with the challenges, that they would desire to seek your will for their lives, wanting the best by doing that. And God, we do not take this opportunity for granted to come and worship you here in this chapel. We thank you for all the servicemen and women that have provided this opportunity that we have to worship freely, that have served in our military in peace and in war, because in that process, they have guaranteed that freedom. And we praise you for that. We praise you for them, and we lift up the families of all of those service members as well, because they too have endured many of the same sacrifices and the hardship as their loved ones have. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 303, I Serve a Risen Savior, in the red hymnal. Number 303, I Serve a Risen Savior.
Along life's narrow way, he lives.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, beginning with verse 34. Summoning the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. For what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his life? What can a man give in exchange for his life?" Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, we are so thankful that we've had this time of worship. We praise you for the scriptures that we have read, the hymns that we have sung, the prayers that we have offered. And Lord, what a blessing it is that we can do that as one body of believers in your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, I would ask that you would just help me continue that process as we just want to praise and worship you more. Help me now with the power of your Holy Spirit in my life. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I don't know if you've been following the news lately, but are you aware of how much the Powerball and the Mega Ball jackpot is worth? Quite a bit, right? Now, I got to be honest with you, I wouldn't mind having a piece of that. However, there's something important here in that example. Even if we won all of the money that would be available through both of those jackpots, and we lose our eternal life, is it worth it? If we lose our eternal life, is it worth it? Might be worth it for a season, might be worth it for a few months, might be worth it for a few years. But God reminds us in our daily lives that one day this life that we have will come to an end and we will begin a new life. A new life in heaven. Do we hope for that, or is it at times that sometimes when I think about those things, it's hard for me to grasp, it's hard for me to understand, it seems to be out of my reach? There are times when I think about my own individual life and the things that I'm doing and the things that I've accomplished and the things that I want to do with the years that I have remaining, because I know that the years ahead of me are going to be less than they were behind me. And I think about those things. And then I ask myself the question, God, I just don't know what direction to go here. I ask you to just help me out because I seem to have choices, and choices are not a bad thing. But I think many times it's hard just to find that one choice that God wants us to do. And I think what helps us to do that is understanding that within our own life, that no matter what we could gain, no matter how many billions of dollars that we can obtain, all of those things mean nothing in terms of the impact that we can have in people's lives, and also the impact that we can have as we look to the future to be with God in all things. Because we truly do gain a very personal life in Christ. When we look at Christ and what he has done for us, when we accept the gospel, the good news of what Christ has done for us on the cross, and enables us to have communion and fellowship with God once again, if we accept Christ into our lives, there's nothing that we can give in exchange for that. There's nothing that we can earn in exchange for that. There's nothing that could be made up for what Christ has done for us on the cross. And do we understand that? We should. I should. But yet sometimes it just seems to be outside our grasp. But yet we seem to understand, if I get the correct numbers and the different drawings that are coming up, I'll be benefiting from it. I can see it. I can understand it. It can be in my reach. And we pray, "Lord, give me the numbers so that I can win." But we both know that That's not necessarily foolishness, but it is pretty silly. But then the scriptures tell us, hey, here, if you really want to truly have something very special that will last for eternity, is to take up your cross. Take up Christ's cross and follow him. Because in this portion of scripture, Christ gives us a question. What is life's purpose for you and for me? That each and every one of us face the possibility of having a wasted life. I don't know about you, but I don't want my life to be wasted. I want to leave some kind of legacy behind, whatever that might be. I'd like to be able to define it for you, but I just don't know other than I can tell you that I just want to leave something behind in a good, positive way for my family, for my friends, because I don't want my life to be wasted. And what's interesting about that is Christ poses the question that you and I face the possibility of having a wasted life if we are not following the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of Christ being incorporated into our lives. And Christ also gives us the question about the whole idea of what our life is doing, the values in which we have, the things that we strive for. Maybe promotion, maybe wealth, maybe other things that gives us a different perspective about our own selfish lives that God does not want us to have. Christ poses that question to us. He asks us, what are your values? What reflects who you truly are as a person? Is your life wasted or has it accounted for something? Something other than yourself? But then Christ gives us the opportunity to say, you know what? If you follow me, you can have a worthwhile life. You can have a life that means something. You can have a life that leaves a legacy. A legacy in which you will be remembered and thought of. And it's not a numbers game. It's not about how many people will remember you or how many people will think of what a wonderful person you was. It could just be one person. One person that says, you know what, that person made a difference in my life, and that point in time, my direction was changed because of the contact that I had with that person. And that person can be you, and that person can be me. And even if they don't remember our names, they will understand and feel the love and compassion that we gave to them. Giving them maybe a thought, some wisdom, some direction because of your own life experience and what you have shared. And many times from that, it's unfortunately because of the mistakes that we have made that we gain wisdom and we are able to share that with others. Hey, I had that problem too, and this is what I did to help me during that time. And that person will go, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna do that too, because I can see myself applying what you have learned to my own individual life. And we can make a difference. We can make our lives worthwhile. And then we can see within our own lives the impact that we can have. Even if it's just a little. Because God never cares about the numbers. And Jesus gives the example, gives the parable of leaving the 99 and going after the one sheep. So God doesn't care about numbers. But what he does care about is how you are living your life. And if you are living your life out, doing the best that you can with the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives as being a follower of Jesus Christ. What else can we say? What else can we do but to say, hey, Lord, I want to be your follower. I want to take up your cross and I want to follow you. And Lord, it might be difficult at times, and I know I'm going to, quote unquote, have to give some things up. But we are reminded that that is the best direction that you and I can go to. Because it does give us a life that is meaningful, that has purpose, that is worthwhile. And then we see our attitudes and our actions and the direction of our life begin to change. Because as we desire to be followers of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden we seem to have compassion and love in circumstances and with people that we could never have before, that we never thought that we could ever have. We have a sense of desiring to have no walls or no barriers that prevent us from truly reaching out to a person, showing them that love and compassion. But then we see within our own lives that as we go forward desiring to be a follower of Jesus Christ, that God begins to confirm what we are doing in our lives. The things that we are doing, God says, you know what? Well done. You made the right decision. It required something of you, and there was a sacrifice there. But I could sense that you're trying to follow my will for your life. And then we see as we are making those decisions that God is following along, that He is walking by our side. And people begin to see the change in us, wondering what has happened. They see the life that we are leading, that all of a sudden now it has been positive. We show love and compassion. We reach out to other people. We begin to confirm what Christ has done for us. His desire to be a part of our everyday lives. And then we see the richness that He gives us. We become more and more attracted to want to be a follower of God. We make the effort to worship God in a very special way because we can sense His presence in our lives. And as we are a follower of Jesus Christ, we see for the first time how approachable God is because we want that life that only can be found in Christ. And we see how approachable God is and all the richness that He has given us, all the many blessings. All of a sudden, for the first time, we see them around us. We see that life is good. The way in which we view life begins to change. It's not like Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh where everything's going to be bad and it's just going to be an awful day. We begin to see life honestly, truthfully, and optimistically because we know that we have a life in Christ. And we begin to see that all the little things that God has given us for the first time truly is a blessing. All the relationships that He gives us, all the benefits of just living in Him. And yes, we have ups and downs. We have valleys and we have mountaintops. But when we come back to the core of what we believe in, the core values, we should see the steadiness that God wants us to have. That our life should not be a series of ups and downs, but just little blips. And overall, the chart says that we are steady in Christ, going up to understand the progress that we are making in our lives. Because that's how God wants us to live, as we are a follower of Him. And as we see, as we follow God, and as we see God and approaching God, as we understand that we are confirming the life that God has given us through Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, in everything we do, in the compassion and the love that we have an attitude of wanting to worship God, confirming what we believe in Christ. The desire just to want to worship God in all that we do. Whistling in the car. Singing songs of praises, if you will, as we're just walking down the hallways or on the street. All of a sudden we have good thoughts about the relationships that God wants us to have, and we don't seem to have that burden anymore that we used to have of thinking about all the mistakes that we've done in the past and how undeserving we are. And all those things have been removed because of our desire to be new in Christ, to see the whole process of God being confirmed again and again. And if we had a piece of paper and we could write down confirming the Christ that is in our lives as we follow Him, all the different things that have changed. The outlook, perspective, our vision, our attitude, our desires. All of the things have gone to the side of Christ. And we never thought that we could ever obtain that. We never thought that we could live a life with the freedom of liberty that God gives us through His grace. And then we understand the whole idea of what can it benefit a man if he gains the whole world, but loses his own life. And then we see the life that God wants us to have, because in exchange for us, Christ is the intermediary. He is the one that comes between us and God. He is the one that bridges the gap so you and I can benefit from life in the present and life that is yet to come. But understanding that within our own lives, we have to see the things that we do honor God. In our desire to confirm what God has already done through His Son, Jesus Christ, we see within our own personal lives the whole idea that we want to please God because we want to honor God. Not because we have to, but because we want to. In our prayers and in our actions, we want to honor God. And doing so, we are acknowledging our relationship with God. We are acknowledging the whole idea that God, You come before us. And our desire to please God is something that we do because of love. Because of what Christ has done for us through His Son. We reciprocate love. And when we begin to praise God in a very unique and special way, many times we praise God and it's hard for people to understand within our own individual lives. You praise God and I praise God in different ways because we know, I know, where God has taken me. God has been with my journey. And I praise God for all of those things that He has seen me through. All of the things that He has forgiven me for. All of the things in which God pours out His grace. And in the same way for you, the whole idea of how you praise God. Because God has been with you along your journey. God has poured out His forgiveness and grace to you. And we desire to praise God because He has taken all of that and He has put it aside and He has given us the freedom and the liberty that He wants us to live as those things have never happened. They have been forgiven. Everything has been wiped clean. And when we understand that, we confirm all the things that Christ is telling us here this morning, as He told the disciples in the crowd. And that is what it's about living the good news of the gospel, the good news of Christ, the good news of the life that He wants to give us all of the time. The present has been guaranteed in Christ. The future has been guaranteed in Christ. But God wants us to make that decision for ourselves. God allows us to make choices in our lives. Because if it was any other way, there's no way that we could worship God in the right way. God gives you choices. God gives me choices every day in terms of how we want to live, how we exercise what we believe in. And I thank God for the choices that He gives me. There are times where some of those choices is like, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what is the right decision. But yet when we go before God, He tells us for the presence of His Holy Spirit, for the presence of His Word, for the fellowship that we have with other people that maybe have gone down that road before, and we listen to their wisdom, we listen to their story. And God gives us direction from all of those things. Because then we see truly, what do we gain if we take whatever the world has to give us? We gain absolutely nothing. In fact, we lose the life that God wants us to have through His Son, Jesus Christ. So it is my hope and prayer that you look and see what you can truly gain by being a follower of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, being one of His disciples, wanting to be a follower, wanting to incorporate the gospel within your own personal lives, and then you will truly gain the life that you want to lead, because it would be one in fellowship with God. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for communion this morning. And we practiced open communion here in the chapel. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, however you came about that, you're welcome to take communion with us. Let us pray. Our gracious God, you have reminded us through the time that we've had how you truly want to be one with us in all things. Your scriptures also remind us that your love is there for us. The life that you want us to have is there for us. And we just have to make that choice to want that life. And God, I'm just so thankful that you forgive us. You forgive us of the things that we've done wrong, the past, present, and the future, because that's the representation of your grace. And God, we thank you for the freedom and the liberty that it gives us to want to do those things that honor you and that praise you. Thank you, God, for forgiving us of our sins and just loving us the way that we are this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 399, Wonderful Grace of Jesus, number 399. Desiring to be a follower of you in all things, because we can truly gain the riches in your life that you want us to have by doing that. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. Wonderful to have you all here this morning. We begin our service by singing the doxology, which is 549 in the red hymnal. Number 549, the doxology. Is hymn number 723. Whoever loves me will obey my message. My Father will love him, and my Father and I will come to him and live with him. Whoever does not love me does not obey my words. The message you have heard is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am still with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you. Peace I leave with you, my own peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 457, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, number 457. High and stormy gale, my anchor holds within me. Please be seated. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, Lord, it is so good that we can be in your house this morning, in this chapel to worship you. And Lord, you remind us again and again as we come to worship you that you want to know of the needs that we have in our lives, the things that we are trying to overcome, the challenges that we have, the struggles that we are trying to work through. And Lord, we come before you with all of those things. God, we'd ask that you would give us that peace that passes all understanding because we search for that every day. But yet many times, God, things happen and we lose our peace. We say things that we shouldn't say. We snap at other people. We become intense with anger. And God, you remind us that that's not the way for us to go. That's not the path that you want us to walk. And Lord, I would just ask that you would help us deal with those things, that we can always say those things that encourage one another, that shows that we love one another. And Lord, as we come before you with our needs, we come before you with the needs of others, of family members, of friends, of patients throughout this medical center, of the staff that is working here today, and the families that will be visiting. Lord, we lift them all up to you in prayer. And in the same way, Lord, we ask that you would just bless them with the presence of your Holy Spirit in their lives so they too can respond to each other in a way that honors you and praises you. And Lord, we just are so thankful that you give us this opportunity to pray. And we are thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 452, Living for Jesus, A Life That Is True. Living for Jesus, A Life That Is True.
Suffer affliction and loss. They made each trial a part of my cross. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement did give myself for me. I owe no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile. Seeking the lost ones, he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I owe no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, beginning with verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate, and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. Amen. Let us pray. God, we are just so thankful that you've given us this opportunity just to worship you through the hymns that we have sung, the scriptures that we have read, the prayers that we have offered. And Lord, it is just so good that we can just continue that act of worship as we listen to your word. And God, I would ask that you would give me that helper, the Holy Spirit, that I need to say those things that we all need to hear, so that we can draw closer to you. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. I think all of us, if we are asked the question, would respond that each day we look for our life to have some type of purpose, some meaning, something that makes sense. And I will say to you that many times every day I think about God. Why am I here? Why did you put me here for this reason? Why did you put me here in this particular place? Because there are times, God, that I just feel so unworthy. And then there are other times when I think about my relationship with God, I doubt my salvation. And I've been told by others from a theological perspective that there is no reason for doubt, for you to doubt your salvation, because you can know that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and there's no reason for you to doubt that. But I do doubt that. And it's not because of the theology or what I believe from the Word of God. It's because of my own personal character in the things that I do. The things that I do that contradict what I am professing to be in Christ. Does anyone else have that same kind of issue where We confess to be Christians and to have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but yet many times our attitudes, our actions, our words seem to contradict who we are and what we truly believe in. The scriptures remind us this morning that there is a road that leads to life, but that the gate to it is very narrow. That the road itself is difficult for us to walk on, but yet in the end result, it leads to life. The life in the present and the life that is to come, eternal life. But how do we know if we've gone through that narrow gate? How do we know if we are on the right road that leads to life? How do we know if we have found it? I want to suggest to you one way that you can know whether you have gone through that narrow gate and that you are on the road that leads to life. Is what does your actions in your life show? What are they attributed to? Do you produce the good fruit that is being talked about here in this portion of Scripture? The good fruit that leads to life, not just for yourself, but for others. And I think one theme that I have been seeing again and again over the last couple of weeks to show whether I am on the right road, whether I have gone through the narrow gate, is how my heart and my life reflects on the many blessings that God has given me. And I think one aspect of your life that you need to consider about whether you are that good tree bearing that good fruit, and I think all of us want to do that. I think all of us want to bear the good fruit that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. All of us wants to say that we've gone through that narrow gate, not because of something that we have done, but because of God's grace that opened that gate for us and we decided to go down that road. But yet we have found that road to be difficult because there are things in our life that God reminds us through the presence of His Holy Spirit in our lives that He wants us to lay down on that side of the road and keep walking. Things that He wants us to take off, the burden of our sins, the conduct and our actions that do not reflect the glory of God in our lives, the holiness that He wants us to have. But I think one attribute more than many of the others is the whole idea of whether our heart reflects an attitude and a thankfulness of gratitude. And you've heard the whole theme about the attitude of gratitude and have a gratitude of attitude and all those kind of things. But you know, I think the way that God wants us to point us to the life that He wants us to be on is whether we are thankful for the things that God has allowed in our lives. The good things, the bad things, the in-between things, where we are right now in our lives, the successes that we've had, the failures that we've had, the mistakes that we've made, the forgiveness that we need to show to ourselves and also to others. And I think one way that we can show whether we are truly bearing the fruit that God wants us to have, the good fruit that He wants us to live by, is whether we have that attitude of thankfulness and gratitude. And that's the theme that I've been seeing again and again and again over the last couple of weeks. From other people, from family, from friends, from just certain circumstances where I see even the word be thankful or the word gratitude on bumper stickers, those kind of things just remind me that as the Holy Spirit is directing my life, there's a part where I need to be reminded to be thankful for each and every one of you, to be thankful for the time that we have to worship in this chapel, to be thankful for my family and my friends, to be thankful for those people that are not my family, that are not my friends, to be thankful in all of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And did you know that if we have an attitude of gratitude, that there are actually scientific proven benefits of having an attitude of gratitude. Gratitude opens the door to more relationships in our lives. Gratitude improves our physical health. Gratitude improves our psychological health. Gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Wow, that really spoke to my heart. It enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Gratitude makes us sleep better. Gratitude improves our own self-esteem and how we value ourselves. Gratitude increases our mental strength. Scientifically proven. So there is a purpose when God tells us to be thankful in all things. To be thankful for the direction that God has given us. To be thankful for the road that God has put us on. And we make a choice every day to be thankful. We make a choice to reflect on the gratitude in our lives. We have a granddaughter. She's three, four? Yeah, four. Lynn keeps track of that. Emery's four, and she is our youngest granddaughter, right? And one of the things that she shows that just blesses our hearts is the fact that she is always thankful to see us. She always comes running up to me, calls me Grandpa, and that's okay. She's always glad to see us. In fact, we actually joke about the fact that she's kind of our little cheerleader because she is so positive about the things that are taking place in her life. And yes, she has her bad moments, but there's always a joy to be around her because she has such a smile that just says, hey, you know what? I am just grateful to you, Grandpa, for you being my grandpa. Hey, wow. And I think a lot of times God reminds us again and again that he wants us to have that childlike faith as we go down that road just to be thankful for the things that God has done in our lives. And I know some people that when they feel the need to be thankful, that many times they struggle with it because they think somehow that they have to get it right. Anybody else like that? When you show emotion or you show something that you need to be thankful for, or you show something that you truly love, or you're upset about something, that instead of showing those emotions, you keep them all inside and you just stuff them down because you're afraid that if you don't get it right, that if not perfect in expressing the right type of emotion and it's not perfect in expressing the right thing to say, that you'll just feel bad because you get it wrong. And I would suggest to you to show those emotions even if you don't get it perfect. Express yourself the way that love that God has expressed to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Because we find ourselves as we are making those choices that many things in our lives that prevents us from having that road that leads to life is just because of ourselves. The things that we are worried about, that we are concerned about, that we can't get it right all the time and we seem to be imperfect. I have it's either a bad habit or a good habit, because I do a lot of instruction and I teach in front of a lot of people, that I follow the maxim that when you teach, you have to say things at least three times for people to remember. And so when I am in everyday conversations with people, I usually say the same thing to them three times. And I'm thinking, I just left that conversation. I bet that person thinks I'm an idiot because I just repeated the same thing to him three different times in the course of our conversation. And then I become sensitive about it. And then I become leery to even communicate or to talk to somebody because I'm afraid of what they're going to think of me, because I know that I have that ingrained part of me that repeats the same thing 3 times in a course of a conversation. And when I've asked people about it, friends and families, they do notice it. And so all of a sudden, I become self-conscious of that. But God says, hey, you know what? I've given you that ability because when you get up and teach in front of people, you do need to repeat things 3 separate times, at least with the hopes that somebody will get it right. And that's a gift that God has given me because it happens in a natural way because it's just part of who I am. And God says, that's okay. If people don't understand that, well, at least they'll remember what you said to them because you reminded them 3 different times in the course of the conversation. But that's the things, the uniqueness that God has made each and every one of us individually. Something unique, something different. But yes, we make that choice to be on that road that God wants us to give in life. God wants us to have that life. He promises us. He reassures us. But yet we know that fact that we have to get over ourselves on that. And it is that conflict that we have within ourselves that really deprives us of the life that God wants us to give. If I could just set myself aside, I would have a good life. If I could somehow negate myself and all my little annoying habits that I have about myself, all those little things that just make me kind of like, God, I don't know why you created me because I have so many faults. I do so many things wrong. I can't always seem to get it right. And it is that eternal conflict within myself that I deprive myself of the life that God wants us to have. And perhaps you have the same concerns. But God reminds us through His Scripture that we have a new life. That the old you, the old me, has been passed away. It's no more. It has been put to death. And that you and I have a new life in Christ. A new life where we are living for God in all the things that He wants us to live for. And so we should not have the conflict. I should not have the conflict within myself because God has created something new in me because of Jesus Christ and what He did for each and every one of us on the cross. You have a new life. I have a new life. And it is in that whole renewal process. And how we get there is by having that attitude of thankfulness, that attitude of gratitude. Think about it. When you start being thankful, when you start showing an attitude of gratitude, of appreciation of all the things that God has done in your life, the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly, all of a sudden you sense within yourself a renewal, a new self, a new appreciation. And God wants us to live that way every day with a new appreciation, a new renewal of ourselves in Christ. Because then we find ourselves as we are dealing with that choice that we make, as we're dealing with that conflict, that all of a sudden in that renewal we understand the comfort that God has for us. The reassurance of His presence in our lives. That complements everything that we do, everything that we say. And then in that comfort, we truly do find that peace. We truly bear the fruit in our lives that God wants us to have. It's not always going to be perfect. But God gives us that comfort through the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have in our lives. As we read today in our call to worship, the helper of the Holy Spirit will be with you to help you remember the things that God wants you to remember. The things that brought you to Jesus Christ, the things that you see in your life that you need to work on and you need to get it right. Because God wants us to have that life. That life in the present. He wants us to be unafraid of today. He wants us to be unafraid of tomorrow. Because He has taken care of our past. He has taken care of those things that we needed to be forgiven for. Because He wants us to impart in that comfort that we find in Christ, in that comfort that we find in the suffering, in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but in the life that He gives us through His death and through His resurrection, through His resurrection and through His ascension. He reminds us to be comforted in those things, and that the Holy Spirit is there with us. And then we look around and we see, God, You've helped me get through that narrow gate, and now I am on the road that leads to life, and God, I am just so thankful. I'm so thankful that Your Holy Spirit led me to us to make the right choice. That the presence of God in our lives have taken care of the conflict about ourselves, and that we find comfort in the presence of God. And then as we understand that we are on the road that leads to life, God gives us an opportunity to renew our commitment to Him every day. The renewing of the commitment in God that still gives us the light that we have, the stillness in the presence of God that He wants us to have. The whole idea that our attitude once of gratitude and of thankfulness, and what we are saying, God, in doing that is, I surrender to the circumstances that You have put me in, and I just want to say thank You. I have a lot of questions, God, and I have a lot of whys, and I don't have a lot of answers, but God, I just surrender to You. In the stillness and the moment of time, I surrender to You. I renew my commitment to You. That all of my fears, all of my anxieties, all of my actions are laid before You right now, God. I am committed to You. In all of my imperfections and all of the things that I struggle with, God, I know that I stand firm with You. Help me, Lord, with my doubts that I have. Help me, Lord, with the conflict that I have. Help me make the right choices. Help me to understand the comfort that You want to give me. Lord, help me not to deny myself that the comfort of the Holy Spirit that was in our lives. Help us to renew the commitment that God wants us to have. And then we see how easy it is for us to exhibit the good fruit that God wants us to have. The good fruit that truly reflects our life with Christ. The good fruit that brings others to Him. Not because of our own strength, not because of our own will, but the whole idea that we are allowing God's strength to work in our lives. That we are allowing God's will to be worked in our lives. And then we see that that commitment is an ongoing process, something that needs to be done for me, at least many times every day, to surrender myself to the things that God wants me to be surrendered to listen to the stillness of His voice that gives me the peace in the midst of those things that are around me that are creating conflict and anxieties and fears and doubts. Many times as I'm sleeping and I wake up and I have concerns about my life with God, I ask God just to remind me to put away those fears, to sense His love and His presence in my life. And in those still moments in the night, God reminds me through the presence of His Spirit that He loves me for who I am, that He forgives me for everything that I have done wrong. And He gives me that peace so that I can go back to sleep assured that God loves me and that I have life and eternal life with Him. And really, that is something within our own lives that is the reality. Is when we have problems and things where we can't go to sleep and we have fears that overwhelm us, that we have anxieties about the past, do we go to God? Do we say to God, help me with this? Help me with these bad dreams that I'm having? Help me with the conflict that I'm seeing? Help me with the doubts that I'm having about who I am in Christ? Because if we go to God, we know that we are on the right road. If we go to God with all of those things first, we know that we have gone through the gate that He has chosen for us, that gives us the path and the road to life. So it is my hope and prayer that we have that sense of commitment with God, that comfort that He wants us to have, the conflict that no longer needs to be in our lives, in the choice that He has given through His Holy Spirit that walks with us every day. This is my hope and prayer that we think about those things today and every day, that we bear the fruit that God wants us to have. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion. And it's just a public reminder of what Christ has done for us. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful, Lord, that we have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. You've reminded us of that presence. And Lord, we just thank You for that presence. But God, many times we just get in the way. Help us, Lord, to set ourselves aside so that we can sense Your love, can sense Your presence, can sense Your forgiveness, and we can sense the life that You want us to live in all things. God, thank You for forgiving us of our sins and loving us just the way we are. In Christ's name, amen.
Receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 445, "More About Jesus I Would Know." More about Jesus I would know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving force.
In the fruit that we bear, the goodness that you want us to show. Lord, help us to have a thankful heart, a gratitude and appreciation of all of the wonderful things that you've done in our lives, because we want you, God, to be in everything that we do, in everything that we say. Help us, God, to do that, because it is impossible without your strength working in our lives. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.